Blog Talk Radio.
Lay my head. Let me live in a brand new place. See my blessed Savior's face. Oh, Holy Spirit, rescue me. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Touch my eyes that I might see all your goodness, grace, and power. Stay beside me every hour. Be my drink, be my living bread. Keep me sheltered and keep me fed. Oh, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Amen. Again, this is Pastor Mike Peter with the Golgotha Church of Christ, and we're just so excited to be with you this evening. We won't be long, but we do hope to be strong and to have a message for you that will invigorate you. The theme for today's lesson is, are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Are you ready for the return of Christ? We are broadcasting live through our Blog Talk Radio show, fighting an incarcerated mind with the incarnated Christ, through the airwaves, radio time in Norway and Canada, and throughout the continental United States, and here in Chicago as well. For those of you that would like to call in, we definitely would like to have you call in at 619-924-0767. Again, 619-924-0767. And those of you that are already on, I'd like you to share the video, if you will, so others can get it. I understand the Super Bowl is on, and it's a very important event, a very high-staking event. But in the end, when we're thinking about kingdom living, the only thing that's going to carry with us will not be these trophies and not be footballs and various things that go forth the Super Bowl weekend, but it will be the works that we do. And so as we prioritize our services at 6 o'clock, and so I have taped it so that I can go back and watch it later so that I can do what I need to do for the Lord first and then all else second. Praise God for that. Amen. Thank God for who he is and what he's done in my life and put around me. And so glad for those of you that are here today. Becky Hastings, good to see you. Timothy Andrew Ryan, good to see you today. Jim Hastings, good to see you again. Luke Miles Jr., good to have you, my brother. Lois Vaughn, good to see you. Said your mom would always sing that song, I know. That's a great tune. And others, I know, seen my mother come in there and then share the video, and others that are on Blog Talk Radio. We have my wife, Marie. No Big Joe will probably be coming on a little later. And just those that can be on. We know that the Bible says when two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. And so we don't worry about numbers. We worry about being able to send out a message. And just so thankful that the Lord is allowing me to get my voice back a little bit. So I'm going to sing one more song, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. If you have any prayer requests, you can type them in. Or if you'd like to do it at the invitation time, call in at 619-924-0767. It will have you on right away. And then you will, at the completion of the message, will be able to talk to you. All right? Shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever it'll be tight. A shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. A Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. and a shade by day, these drinks by night, a shelter in the time of storm. I no fear the love, no fear the fright, a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. Though raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. And we'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer and our invocation. God, just Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for this day. It's the Lord's Day. It's Resurrection Day. It's the first day of the week. It's just such a special day. Father, a day that we come to you, we worship you in spirit and in truth. We come to you in corporate worship, and we prostrate ourselves in front of you, just thanking you for everything that you've done for us. Thanking you for your grace and mercy. Thanking you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your protection and your security. Thanking you for your healing power. Father, we come to you regardless of all those that are here today. I ask you to bless them and keep them in ways you know they so readily stand in need of. Father, we're praying for those that may be coming on a little later. I ask you to be with them, praying for our families. Father, praying for myself. And we know that you will do what you do at all times. Thanking you for my wife, who has just been by my side. Father, I ask you to bless her and keep her. Be with my mother. Be with my family. I'll be with my family on both sides. Father, we're praying that all those that are watching the Super Bowl today, that they will be entertained, that they will remember that there is a great culmination, a great getting up morning that is more important. We thank you, we love you, and we adore you. We pray that they have spent time with you on this day. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. On a hillside so lonely, lived Jesus one day. Communion time. So wounded and weary, he went there to pray. By friends there forsaken, so lonely he feels. In heaven we're crying in helpless appeal, but a golden day has broken in old Gethsemane. The morning now comes singing the songs of victory. There's a new highway to glory, the road that Jesus trod. With a halo we're traveling the pathway to God. We find in Acts 20:7, it was upon the first day of the week that the disciples came together to break bread. We know that Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, where he picked up the pen and he wrote these words. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had broken, he broke it and take it, said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for thee. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup. After he had supped, saying, of this cup, is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many were sick and weakly among them, and many did sleep. Let us have prayer for the bread and the wine. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shed blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let us all say, amen. You may now take of the bread and the wine. At last, and if my Savior believed, and did my soul then die, would he devote that sacred for such a worm as I? It was at the cross, of Golgotha's cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am a happy of the day. Amen. Good to see you, Brother Melvin Dean. Good to see you, Kevin Newsom. Brother Lloyd Williams, Highway, Byways, and Skyways from Chicago Heights. Good to have you. How are you doing, my brother? I've been praying for you, my brother. Good to see you back on the battlefield. I'm progressing under God's grace and mercy, my brother. Thank you so very much. Continue to keep me in prayer. I go for my third surgery tomorrow, which is a skin graft surgery. Hopefully, if everything goes well, my wife will be with me, and I'll be home sometime tomorrow, an outpatient. And then probably after a couple days or so, I'll be able to bounce back, get back to work, and get back to my old self. So thank you. Appreciate your prayers. And we pray for one another. All right, let's get to the Word of God. We've been studying the first, that great book written by Luke, physician, that second document at the Gospel of Luke, but the book of Acts. Good to see you, Christopher Chestnut. Praise God for you. Those of you can share the video, appreciate it. And today's verses will come from Acts 1:9 through 11. But as you, those who may not have been on the last couple weeks or so, I'm going to start in verse 1 and read down through there, emphasizing verses 9 through 11, so that you'll get a picture of what actually has taken place. Last time we were together, we seen that Jesus spent time talking and instructing the apostles whom he chose about the kingdom of God. Let's look at the text. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I wrote the first narrative, O Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up after he had given orders or had given instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many infallible or convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was together with them, verse 4, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me, for John baptized with water. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We're progressing towards that day in the scriptures. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the periods or the seasons or the days that the Father has received, that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You're Jehovah's Witnesses. We're under the umbrella of who are Jehovah's true witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends or the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 9, after he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, he was gazing into heaven. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven. And suddenly two men in white clothes or white apparel stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, good to see you, Ernest. Why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way or the same manner that you have seen him going into heaven. Something for my throat. Verse 9 again. After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Underlining that a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men of white clothes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. I have to present a theme for you under the umbrella theme, who is Jehovah's true witnesses. Our theme today would be, get ready, because Jesus is coming. Get ready, because here I come. Isn't it interesting, as you take a look at the picturesque or the display that the scripture has given us, and as you ponder it, you take a look at the fact that Jesus finished 40 days of various appearances with them, eating with them, allowing Thomas to stick his hand in the side, convincing them with evidence that he is the resurrected Christ, that there is no reason for them to hang their heads, that what he has shown them, what he has trained them about, what he's talked about of kingdom living for 3.5 years has now come to fruition. He's passing the baton to them. It's now time for them to run their race. But they can't lead. They can't run yet until they receive power from on high. One of the problems that they have is that the number for government is 12, and there's only 11. That Jesus has trained a thousand, a multitude of disciples. But there's only 11 apostles at this time. and they'll have to come to 12, so the government will be in place, which was prophesied in the book of Psalms, and we'll get there. But as we see, they're talking to Jesus. They're interacting with him. They're asking questions about timing. And the last time we spoke, Jesus said, don't get so caught up in the times and the season and God's work. Allow God to be God, sovereign God, and do what he does. But I want you to stay focused on your task of being little Christ. This is an interim period of the kingdom's work. And he says, I want you to have the proper perspective. We talked about last week having the proper perspective, being in the right cadence with God. And we talked about Oswald Chambers giving a quote that the proper perspective of a servant of God must not simply be to be as near to the highest as that individual can get, but it must be the highest that that individual can get. So we must put forth effort. We must put forth diligence. We must strive with every fiber that we have to be the best that we can be, so we can be as close to God, as intimate with God as we ever could be. We must maintain vigorously God's perspective, and we must remember it must be done every single day. Thank you, my brother. Good to see you, my Smith. Little by little, we as Christians, we as little Christ, have to have the fragrance of God, the fragrance of Jesus in today's world. And we quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Let me pull it over there again for those who may not have been here last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. But thanks be to God who always puts us on display in Christ and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For to God we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Do you understand that? You are the perfume. You're not just skunk oil. You are the aroma. You are the very fragrance of Christ that God pays attention to, that gets God's attention. Smell like blood to Jesus, of Jesus, to God the Father. Amen, somebody. We are a fragrance, if we're obedient to God, that God smiles upon and takes recognition with. So, as we look at our text today, we notice that we see the emphasized focus again on instruction. We must heed godly instruction. Instruction is important. Why is instruction important? Well, the very word instruction literally is an outlined manual of a technical procedure. It's a code that tells your computerized brain box to perform a particular operation. Instruction is a direction or its directions calling for orderly compliance. Do you understand today that God has a direction for his children in the kingdom of God, the house of God, the church that belongs to God, the church of God, the church of Christ, whom he has purchased with his own blood? We must understand that God has a direction, but hold on now, the devil has a direction also. If you follow the instruction of Satan, and we find out in Genesis, only one word can turn you from God's way to Satan's direction. Sister Eve had a problem with obeying God, knowing full well what the instruction was. But because of emotion, because of what it looked like, because it was shiny, because she listened to a serpent, and because her husband, who was standing right there with her, supposed to be her leader, don't speak up and say something about this thing, she falls subject and then gives to her husband with her. She didn't have to go looking for him. He went somewhere else. He was standing right there. And the sad part about that story, if you truly look at that text, you've got God, who's in the cool of the garden, standing next to Adam, wondering why his servant ain't saying nothing. You see, Adam, the leader who stands next to his wife Eve, and instead of instruction against, takes of the fruit with her. And as Jack Evans always is saying, the problem wasn't with the pear on the tree, it was the pear on the ground. P-E-A-R versus P-A-I-R. Now we know the Bible calls it a fruit, but it's interesting that the pear on works for us to understand the image. Satan says, God, they want you to be like him. That's why it hides the stuff from you. That's all it took for Eve to follow Satan. And when you follow Satan, you lose your blessing from God. You lose positioning with God. But let me tell you what you never lose. You never lose the love of God. And God, from that point forward, is trying to show you that he has prepared provision for you to be back in the fold. Adam and Eve had to leave Eden. Eden was never the same after the deluge or after the flood. But what we do understand is that obedience to God, to the letter, not what we want, not how we think, not how we feel. That's why we see here in the Church of Christ, we commune every first day of the week, because we find in Acts 20:7, there was upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together and they broke bread. The breaking of bread was communion. Now we know that the early century church, if we do history, you know that they took it at every meal. And so if you take it at every meal, there's no problem with that. But we do know that scripture-wise, they was taken at least every first day of the week. So you have a choice to have it at every meal, or you have a choice to follow the scriptures and take it every first day of the week. But we don't see instruction on once a year, once a month, or not having to do it at all. Once a quarter, whatever it is. We follow direct inference. We follow direct example. We follow direct instruction of the apostles. Now, instruction is important. Christ instructed his disciples 3 to 3.5 years on his earthly ministry so that they too would know what it is that he was going to need from them. In his post-resurrection appearances for 40 days, not just one appearance, but off and on, as they see him back and forth at different spots doing different things so that they understand without a shadow of a doubt. And the last appearance that we see here, where he boards the cloud, and they get stiff-necked and they look up. They're talking with him. And can you see? You're not talking to somebody, and now they get on an escalator or an elevator, and they're talking and they're going up. And the cloud receives Jesus out of their sight. But now they're receiving instruction from two men in white apparel. So, 3.5 years, Christ instructed them. 30 days, he instructed them. And now, during Christ's ascension, instruction is given to the apostles by two heavenly messengers. What did they have to say? What was so important as he was taken up, they were watching, and the cloud took him out of the sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them, and they said, what did they say? Because the message coming from God is so important. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, God took him, will come in like manner, in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. How did they see him going into heaven? He started ascending, and there he got into a cloud that received him out of his sight. What is a cloud? Well, we know that clouds are masses in the firmament of God that are really put together as water formations. Some clouds are dark, and some clouds are light. Usually when clouds get real heavy or real dark, you don't need to be a Philadelphia lawyer. You know that rain has come. Thunderstorm is on its way. Something's about to happen. Well, if you don't follow the instruction of Jesus, stormy days are on their way. But all cloud appearances are not negative. And so the same way you saw Jesus go into a cloud, the same way he will come back again. So get ready, because he's coming. But I want you to understand today, if you don't get nothing else from today's message, I want you to understand that Christ's ascension is also an example to you and I today that when we obey the Father, when we obey Jesus, we too can rise. Come on now, don't miss your shout. We too can rise. We too can be love agents on the elevator of love. How can we rise, preacher? I'm so glad you asked that question. You can rise to a higher level with God. You can increase in your value with God. You can ascend in a scale of degree with God. We too, you and I, can elevate to new heights unknown that even ourselves would never even walk there when we follow the rule of the instruction of God. Instruction is important. Israel was so important to God that at night he led them by fire so they could see him. But by day, when the sun was out, the rain was out, they saw God leading them by a cloud. Do you understand the importance of a cloud? In Matthew 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration, we find that God speaks to Jesus and to Peter, James, and John from a cloud above. When Jesus is immersed by John the Baptist in Mighty Jordan River, no light saw or Clorox wipes were around. What you saw was that he was immersed fully in water. But the next thing that we see is the unity of God. When we see that the Son of God ascends up out of water, we see the Spirit of God descending on him in the form of a dove, going to lead him into the wilderness to deal with temptation of Satan. But we hear, like they heard in Matthew 17, from a cloud of oil, God the Father speaking to the world. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. See, God ain't just pleased with Jesus. He's overly well pleased with Jesus. Is God well pleased with you? Is God well pleased with me? We need to be in a well pleased position with God. This is my Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Very important messages. Message has been given, instruction. Don't listen to no one else. Oh, they were going to build a tabernacle. They were going to build a church, but Peter was going to build a church for Moses, very powerful leader. But not what God wanted. Was going to build a church for Elijah, very powerful presence. Elijah taken up in a whirlwind. God took him so he wouldn't have to experience wickedness. Moses was buried by God, but even Satan can't find where he's buried at even to this day. But they appear to Jesus in a powwow on the mountaintop. They're huddling together, if I can use that expression, on Super Bowl Sunday. They're in a huddle together, trying to find out, talking with one another, interacting, and they're encouraging Jesus. Tell him about his end days, his death on the cross that's about to take place very soon. But from a cloud above, in spite of how the world sees it, in spite of how even we want to see it sometimes, we must follow the instruction of God. If you want to ascend with God, then you must obey God. Get ready, because Jesus is coming. Well, you know that song, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, and the trumpet will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Because why? We go when no one dies. Will be heaven word bound. That's that get ready. That's that return by Jesus. That's Revelation 19 when he comes on that white horse. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18. That's the rapture of the scripture. We read it from this translation. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. We do not want you to be uninformed, for your translation may be, say, ignorant, brethren, family members, right? Part of God's inner circle, concerning those who are asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? Jesus, he died. He was buried. And the same power that resurrected him from the grave is the same power that we can connect with through water baptism. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way God will bring him with, will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. So we say this to those by a revelation from the Lord. We who are still alive, those are two groups, those that are asleep and those that are alive. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who are silent asleep. You don't have a leg up just because you may still be here. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Make sure that you are dead in Christ and not dead in Satan. Because the dead, only the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the rapture. There they are again. You too will be received by clouds. Then we, verse 17, who are still alive, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Why? To meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage or comfort one another with these words. Folks, if you don't get nothing else, I need you to understand this. Jesus is not coming back to step foot on this earth. We are not in a premillennialist period of time where he's going to, well, right now, or he's going to come back and during that period of time, all the bad folks are going to disappear and he's going to reign for 1,000 years. I want you to know that all power is in his hand right now. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And he's reigning in the kingdom of God right now. Right now. Colossians. We run over there. Because those premillennialists, many times, always ask, like to ask the question. And they want to run to my favorite scripture, Daniel 2, 44. And we'll be there in a minute. Colossians 2, there it is, 2:13. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. Look at verse 14, Colossians 2:14. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations, right, that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. And he triumphed over them by him. We need to understand that all the laws and commandments and those things were nailed to the cross. And so we're now not under the patriarchal dispensation. We're now not under the Mosaic law. And those laws of stone, although all 10 of those that God wrote, not those 675 that were added by men, traditions of men, come down to 2. But we need to understand that they have been nailed to the cross. Right? That certificate of debt and all its obligations he erased, that was against us and opposed to us. And he has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. The devil thought he was winning. But when he nailed my Savior and yours, put stakes in his hand, a stake in his feet, when they stretched him wide and hung him high between two thieves, they had, and he died. All the authority now has changed. The dispensation has changed. The way God does things has changed. So we too must understand that. You too need to understand that Christ's ascension, and you as a little Christ wanting to be the fragrance of Christ, you also want to rise on this elevator of love. You, God, as God's masterpiece, need to increase in value, increase in intimacy with God, increase in study with God, increase in your giving to God, increase in all aspects of your life with God. You ascend on this scale of degree with God. So you too, I as well, every day of our lives can reach new heights with God. Instruction is important. But in order for us to be ready when Christ comes back for the 5-step plan for saving man, it comes by hearing God's word, Romans 10:17, so that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing his word, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I must cause you turn to God. Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, you all likewise perish. Can't do it your way, you got to do it God's way. You must confess the sweetest name that ever rolled off a mortal's tongue. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Same confession Ethiopian eunuch gave. Matthew 10:32. He that confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And he that denied me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. Oh yes, a grave. You must be fully covered up. Of anything that stinks need to be buried. Wickedness and sin stinks. So you must go into this watery grave of baptism. You can't be sprinkled. You can't be dropped. You can't be christened. You can't be water hosed. You can't have it poured on you. You can't have a bucket of water thrown on you. You have to be fully immersed in water for the remission of your sin. And that immersion will help you to rise, to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Peter says in Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a gift given to us. But to the apostles, we're going to find out they were baptized by the Spirit. The only ones of the Scripture that are baptized by the Spirit. And we now, in order to receive the Spirit as a gift from God, must, as an earnest payment, must be baptized for the remission of our sins. If you don't want to believe Peter, believe Paul in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ's death? Therefore we are what? Buried with him by baptism. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in newness of life. You're still walking in old life. I don't care if you change the shoestrings in your shoes until you're baptized for the remission of your sins. Now, if you won't listen to Peter, you won't listen to Paul, please listen to Jesus. 16:15-16. He that believeth and is baptized, immersed, fully immersed in water, shall be saved. If you're here today and you just need prayer, you're here today and you need more teaching, if you're here today and you want to ascend on that elevator of love, if you're here today and you've had some difficult times, you haven't been willing to listen to instruction, might I urge you, might I persuade you, might I help to encourage you, can I flatly beg you to give your life to God right now? I gave you the plan of salvation. It's the same cookie-cutter plan over 2,000 years ago that every dusty-eyed man and every graveyard traveler must obey in order to make it to heaven, in order to be called a child of God. There's a lot of numerics and fakeness in religion today. Be authentic. When God calls you his child, you want to be able to say, Daddy, Abba, Father, and have it be true. We'll free you. If you need prayer, if you need healing, whatever you need, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you have a prayer request or whatever you need, you can come right now. If you're on, you can call in at 619-924-0767 and we'll talk with you directly. Or you can type it in if you so desire, your request, and we will honor that in prayer. Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, how I love. Come to Christ, calling your name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, sweet Jesus, Jesus, every day, your name is the same. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, my sweet Jesus, Jesus, oh, how I love, calling your name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, sweet, sweet Jesus, Jesus, every day, your name is the same. Amen. See, no one has typed in any requests. I ask you to continue to pray for myself, pray for my wife, pray for my family, and I pray for yours. Pray for those overseas, those who seem to be feel like second-class citizens, those who don't feel they measure up, the homeless, those that are dealing with inclement weather, that they will find comfort. Let us pray. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you for the word of God, which is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Thank you for all those who have sent. Ask you to continue to bless them and keep them in ways you know they so readily stand in need of. Praying for my family. Praying for the doctors and the nurses of all those who need health. praying even for myself as I go under the knife tomorrow, Father. But we know that you have guided this mission all this time. We're thanking you for this journey. We just want to be more intimate with thee. Cut out of us what's not good in us so that we can be better for you and have the fragrance you would have for us to be. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. One more song. Then I want you to do something for others that they cannot repay you for, giving Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I want to tell you that I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Have a great evening. I'm so glad my Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me, that's why. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I want to tell you that I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad my Jesus lifted me. I'm